A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with me on the line for A Problem Shared. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Good morning to you, Jerry.
Okay, we have a query in, and get your questions and queries in for Tony now. Tony, this one's come in. A cousin of mine, who I've been close with, recently something happened that I'm worried about. I was driving us into the shopping centre when I had to brake suddenly to avoid a boy who ran out from the pathway in front of the car. I could easily have hit him. His parents quite rightly gave out to him, but my cousin started shouting at me, telling me I was going too fast. She was so angry, she was almost crying. I'm aghast at how she treated me. Can you unravel what's going on here? I've not called her since this happened.
Well, first and foremost, you can never tell what triggers something like that in somebody. Now, the first question I'd ask is, is she stressed or on depression or something like that going on in her life? Has she been maybe involved in an accident or an emergency that could have given her this sort of reaction? Again, she might be just very nervous, and you mightn't have seen that in her before. What I would say here is these are situations that don't jump in and make an assumption because you don't know what's happening. In other words, she could have all sorts of stuff going on inside in her head that would make her react like that.
It now, sounds like, is it Tony, that sounds like something, this is transference maybe to element, or that there's been a bit of anxiety because of things that are happening in her own life perhaps?
Yeah, it could be either or, you know, it could be just plain stress. She could be stressed for whatever reason, and, you know, it comes out. We all go through patches in our lives, every single one of us, where we are less than focused on what we're doing, and we're more reactive. And it's probably just simply that. But what I would do is give her another chance, you know, call on her. Don't call her on the phone, but call on her and say, look, we need to have a chat. And gently, very gently, sort of say, look, what I was reacting to was what happened in the car. It wasn't my fault. I'm quite sure of that. Yet you sort of made it look as if it were. And I'm, you know, upset about that, and I'm wondering why are you reacting to such an extent, but do that very gently, because if you dive in, you can upset, you know, a very sort of easily upset apple cart and send the apples everywhere. And it certainly needs to be sorted out, because if you were getting along fine for, you know, whatever years, and suddenly this happened out of the blue, there's evidently something triggered, and that's why you got that reaction. So give her another chance is what I would say.
Yeah, okay, and reach out the hand, I suppose, and say, look, I know what happened, but, you know, I'm not that happy with the way you reacted, however, I want to start again, or I want to continue on our familial ties, our friendships, shall we say.
Yeah, if a friendship has lasted years and then suddenly something like that turns up, there is usually a trigger, there is a cause behind it. And instead of, you know, blaming the person, say, that be, you know, and I'm, you know, never talking to her again and that sort of thing, sort of, if you can sort of step back and you know, take the position of diagnosing what's going on, or trying to understand what's going on, and that'll give you a much better stance, rather than being, you know, upset because she at you for being careless and all that, and you know you're not careless. So basically, it's human reaction. Most people will react like you're reacting. They will be shocked and very annoyed and won't talk to them, and it can finish relationships, which it doesn't have to. And basically what I would say is definitely call to the house or meet her somewhere and sit down and talk it out in a very relaxed, calm way. And I think that's the best approach. If that doesn't work and there's something going on with her and she's not dealing with it, well, you can't deal with that, then you have to back off. But I would go as far as, you know, inviting her to talk about it.
Okay, all right. Mick makes the point. Kenmare says you're getting one side of the story. Maybe he was driving too fast. Maybe that's the case. Is that the case? Could that be the case here, that at least some of her reaction was warranted and our caller needs to look at his own driving?
It could be. It could be, definitely. But basically, you know, if you're driving into a car park, the horse is going into a car park, shopping centre, you're not driving that fast. And, you know, a three or four-year-old child dashes out in front of you, you know, you can't force...
If you have the time to stop, it suggests you weren't driving too fast in order to avoid the accident, shall we say.
Exactly. You know, you were definitely, if she missed the child, she was more than tuned in to what was happening, you know. And, yeah. and that is, you know, a reasonable... assumption here in this particular case. So okay. I wouldn't think that she's necessarily a dangerous driver, because, you know, that sort of situation is very, very easily entered into. I mean, I've had a couple like that myself down the years, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just hope that your reactions are fast enough.
Yeah, you certainly would. Okay, Tony, stay with us. We're going to talk more. We have more queries to get to, and in-stream one to get to as well after we take these.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, keep your comments and queries coming into us on the programme. With Tony McGinley with us on the line. Tony, I wanted to mention something that came up, and it's come up via... it throws up a couple of issues we've talked to before from listeners' queries, but it comes up via a piece this morning in the Irish Independent. The technology editor of the Irish Independent, Aidan Reckler, is writing about the fact that phone calls, the number of phone calls being made is dropping. According to the communications regulator ComReg, voice calls on smartphones collapsed 30% last year. It started as a thing amongst Generation Z youngsters, but is now apparently commonplace among older people too. More and more people simply won't answer their phone, the survey is saying. And he goes on to argue, so this isn't just about scam calls, sometimes they won't answer calls from friends and family, that people have this idea now getting a phone call, having to talk to someone, is some sort of, I suppose, pressure. So there are all sorts of implications about this, particularly I'd imagine for older people in the era of scams. There's a level of fear, but also if you're not taking phone calls, you're not talking to people, it's limiting the social interaction, isn't it? That's kind of a concern.
It absolutely is, and I think that's something we have to guard against. But I know I sometimes don't answer the phone. If the landline rings late at night, I hesitate to pick it up. In fact, I hesitate to pick it up at any time, because it's eased off now, but there was a few months there where there were dozens of scam calls going.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you had to be...
And they're still
careful.
Happening. Many of them automated, some of them not, so you never know for sure. So people are just, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to even risk it, so I won't answer the call if it's an unknown number.
Yeah, and once that gets into somebody's head, it's like, as we were talking last week about the effects of the pandemic that hit us.
Yeah.
And that is still going on. We're out of the pandemic, but people are still acting as if, and these sort of responses that happen in society don't go away. They can last decades, in fact, you know, sometimes these sort of responses can go on for much longer. And I would imagine now that the single greatest effect is the scam call thing. That certainly has slowed me down answering calls. You know, I'll pick up the phone and make a phone call, and I try to remind myself to do that regularly.
Yeah,
to friends,
yeah,
and relatives. But you know, it certainly will slow me up picking up the phone.
Yeah, and that's so part of the issue. It's like you're out of the habit of it almost, and you're saying, well, I'm not going to answer calls, and you're like, I'm not answering any calls. They can leave a message if they really want me. And they like things that are less urgent. One of the points being made by the research is saying that there's a way of leaving a voice note now on WhatsApp, which indicates less urgency. You can leave your message, you wait for a response. It's a way of screening even what your friends and family want without having to respond straight away, which can increase social anxiety.
Yeah. It's getting way too complex. I mean, for my age now, I'm beginning to kind of, like, I actually turned off my answering phone. I have no answer phone on my mobile or on the landline because I don't like dealing with the string of stuff, because you can come in and there could be 10 calls and you have to go through them. And so I just simply turn them off. And it doesn't affect most people because I'm available most of the time. There are different reasons. It could be a social thing too, because there's, as we were speaking there a couple of weeks ago, you know, the whole social interaction in society is beginning to change, because I can't define it, because you'd have to be a professor to define what's happening, but there is a shift in the way people communicate. And it could be part of that, you know, that shift away from, you know, constant, you know, interaction.
And is it that question, Tony, then, of what you say, and we get people getting in touch with us who feel at whatever stage of life, maybe their children have left the home, they find they don't have much of a circle out there, that the last couple of years they've been indoors more often, that, and the encouragement is you have to force yourself out there, join a club, take up a hobby, do something you enjoy, and put you out there so you will meet people and you'll get back into the practice of it. So that if you're in a situation whereby you've left people, you've left answering the phone because of the scams, and all of a sudden you're not answering anybody, that you need to say, right, avoid the unknown numbers, but if you're getting a phone call, pick up the phone and answer it. It's good for your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, basically now, the way I answer the phone now is I just pick it up and very sort of blandly say, hello, and, you know, wait then to see who responds or what responds.
And you can always take action afterwards,
Yeah, where before we'd launch into it, you know, and then to be some scam and you could be caught up in it. But, who knows? I couldn't give you a straight answer on why this is happening or how it's happening. But I know from my own experience that the scam call thing certainly put a bit of a dampener on how I respond when they pick up the phone.
Yeah, indeed, that's the case. Okay, another listener gets in touch here. And if anyone's a view on that, if you found that happening to you, I'd love to hear your views on this. Tony, how do we get over my need to be liked by people, says the listener. Realistically, I know not everyone can like me. I can't control what other people feel or how they view me. So why do I dwell on this? I feel my happiness is being dictated to or dictated by how I think other people feel about me.
I'd be worried if I felt that way. No, we all like to be liked. That's a human emotion, except in maybe 0.1% of the population. But to be anxious about it, there's something going on. There's something missing in that person's life, or some trauma that they've gone through, or whatever. It could be any one of a dozen things. But I would say, if it's bothering you to that extent, go and talk to somebody, your doctor initially, and he'll point you, or they'll point you in the way of a counsellor or whatever. But if it is bothering you to that extent, now, as I say, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked. I mean, it's even in animals like to be liked, and it's built into our DNA. So there's nothing wrong with that. But when it gets that other step up, then there's something wrong. So what I would suggest is that you talk to your doctor initially.
Yeah, and it because it could be stemming from a place of insecurity, Tony, a general feeling for whatever reason this person is insecure about themselves, and if they continue on going out, they won't have a very positive experience, because expecting or hoping that everyone likes you, it changes what you do, and sometimes you sacrifice your own self trying to please other people way too much, and you can be left more miserable.
Yeah, it gets into very, very complicated territory if it is expanded. Yeah, but this person, I think you said, is upset by it, and it's a constant sort of...
They're dwelling on it. They know themselves they're dwelling too much on this need to be liked by other people.
Yeah, and that's an indicator that there's some imbalance. Now, it could be just as simple that it could be a spill-off of the pandemic, because, you know, we were all isolated for some few months anyway, and that can have a spillover. And it could be something as simple as that triggers it. But again, as I say, if you're worried about it, talk to your doctor.
Okay. All right, Tony, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million again for a great problem shared. More queries and questions with Tony next Wednesday morning on A Problem Shared.